Take your Bibles this morning, go to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. The book of Romans, chapter number 12. And we're going to go to verse number 2 to start with this morning. Romans, chapter number 12, and verse number 2. The Bible says here in verse number 2, of course, verse 1 is an amazing verse. We'll look at that another time. But here the Apostle Paul encouraging the believers for a specific area, and I think a portion of Scripture that is certainly applicable to the world in which we live today. As the Apostle Paul writes in verse number 2 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The Apostle Paul gives us a challenge here in Romans chapter number 12, challenging believers to not be conformed to the world. If you went to Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 4, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, the Bible says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." The idea of not being conformed to the world is the idea of not being conformed to this age, not being conformed to the system of the age, which seeks us or desires for us to be transformed to its likeness. The challenge from the Apostle Paul is that believers not become subject to a satanic run system which encourages evil. The challenge of the Apostle Paul is that we not be partakers of the evil world system in which we live that seeks to eliminate God from all it does and all it participates in. I'm not sure if you've noticed, but the world in which we live is not exactly heading in a righteous way. It would seem that sin is promoted as fine and good. It would seem as though things of this world that caused harm and hurt and caused great amounts of pain have been normalized and have been taught to be just fine because everybody is doing this or whatever it may be. We also see from Romans 12 that this is nothing new in the body of believers, as the Apostle Paul is writing this many years from where we are today. It is the same thing the devil has always sought to do. And the Apostle Paul warning this church and also warning our church to not be conformed to the world system that seeks to eliminate God. In verse number 2, the idea of the word conformed means to be fashioned after. Another author says it this way, if you were to put it into their language, it would be, "Do not let the world around you squeeze you into its mold." To be squeezed into a mold, to conform, means to act according to the pattern of those around you. The church should set the standard for the world, not the world for the church. The church stands upon the truth of God's word and should not be conformed to the system of the world. So the Apostle Paul says to the believer, do not be conformed, do not be shaped, do not be squeezed into the pattern of the world. Another idea, the same understanding from verse number 2, is the Christian should not be like-shaped. That we should not allow ourselves to be pressed into corrupt customs, to ungodly principles and evil plans promoted by worldly people. Go to Psalms chapter number 1. It gives you a little idea of how the Father, as he's beginning under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here in Psalms 1, is God is telling us how we should live. Look at what he says in chapter 1 of verse 1 of Psalms. "Blessed is the man," he says, "that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Now, listen. I know that this type of thing is not popular in the world we live in today. But did you know as a Christian, God desires for you to live a holy life? Did you know as a Christian today, God wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son? Did you know that God has saved you from the power of sin through Jesus Christ and wants you to live separate from sin, as I presented to you a couple weeks ago as we talked about the word sanctification? The Bible says here, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But," he says, "his delight is in the law of the Lord," the word of God. Our delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. As we live this way, verse number 3 says, we shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, I've recently been back east, and I'm reminded what it is to have water everywhere, right? There's rain and there's humidity. I did a wedding last Saturday. It was 92 degrees. It was outside. I had a full blue suit on standing in the sun. I made it, but barely. It was rather warm. But if you notice in the east, the trees are growing and there's grass and all these things. And it's reminding us what happens when there's a lot of water. That's what the Bible says to those that delight in God, that delight in His Word. He says we are like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. There's growth, there's health, there's excitement. Sin is not the friend of the believer. That's why the Bible is warning the believer in chapter 12. Don't be shapen like the world. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. You are to be as Christ, to walk according to the principles of God's word. And as you do that, he says, you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not walking according to corrupt customs, as I mentioned, to ungodly principles or to evil plans, but walking according to God's word. So we go back to chapter 12 and verse number 2. Verse 2, as he says again, don't be conformed. Don't be pressed into the mold of the world's system. There's great pressure today in the world to accept the ways of the world. There's great pressure among Christians to accept what the world is considered to be right. There's great pressure among Christians to say that it's okay to kill an unborn child. There's pressure among Christians to accept different ideas of genders and all kinds of things. But we stand upon the Word of God, not seeking to be conformed to a world system that is eliminating God, but being conformed to what God would have us to do and to live how He would have us to live. Do not be shapen like the world. Do not allow the world to press you into its mold. So he says, do not be conformed to the world. But then he says, well, what should we do? If we are not to be shapen like the world, are pressed into the shape of the world, then what should we do? He says this, that we should be transformed. The word transformed is an interesting word. It's where we get our word metamorphosis. To change, he says, to be transformed in verse number 2. By what? What do we need to be transformed? Do our bodies need to be transformed? Well, maybe at times when we have health or sickness or whatever it may be, or he's not speaking of our bodies being transformed. Is it the spirit within us that needs to be transformed? No, he's not speaking of that, because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. But there's something that ever since sin came into the world that needs to be transformed. And he mentions this in verse number 2. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. What is it that God wants to transform in us? It's our mind. Our minds. Since the fall, we don't think correctly. Our mind is corrupt because of sin. You look at the world in which we live, and you see that sin is promoted as being normal. There's an old saying that says, sin takes you further than you thought you would go. Sin costs you more than you thought you would pay. Sin is not our friend. Sin hurts, harms. The Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. Think of the times in Scripture where the Bible mentions, as others, he says, the devil walks to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It was said to Peter that he desired to sift him as wheat. The devil, the liar, has sought to corrupt the minds of people. And in the world in which we live, that seems to be even easier to do because of the presence of our friend, the internet, right? You know, there was a study done about information on the internet, and this was regarding health information. They found that 83% of health information given on the internet was wrong. Boy, that's scary, isn't it? Because the first thing we do when we go to the doctors, we come home and look up what they said, right? I know when I was dealing with my kidney cancer at NIH there in Bethesda, Maryland, the first thing the doctor said to me, he says, do not go home and look this up. Don't go home and look this up, right? Because 83% is incorrect. The other day, Carter told me he's suddenly gotten into golf. And I had kind of an embarrassing moment because I got my golf clubs from a little storage place in Virginia, and I didn't know how to carry them back home. I was going to check them in the luggage, and so I took black duct tape, like any professional golfer would do, and I just wrapped that thing up, and the driver's out sticking out, and I thought, no one even cares. Well, we get off the plane in Denver, and there is a high-class golf club that was on my plane. And they're all standing there waiting for their clubs. They have backpacks on that say Masters and all this stuff. And I'm standing there like, oh, no, this is going to be bad. Carter wouldn't even stand near me. Colin has not forsaken me. So Colin is standing there, and he's like, this is really embarrassing, Dad. So here comes these guys, these beautiful cases, you know, and they're all worried about their clubs. And here comes mine, black duct tape. And I grabbed that thing, Colin said, let's get out of here. So we ran out of that airport so quick before anybody else saw my golf clubs. But anyway, we live in a world that we see that we need to be transformed, our mind, our thinking. So the Apostle Paul encouraging these believers to think correctly, to have their minds not subject to the vanity of the world, but subject to the truth of God's word. We live in a world of tons of information. So Carter was telling me, as he was talking about golf, he told me, he said, Dad, they're taking away, what's that guy's name? Rory McIlroy's winning of the Masters, I guess. He said they're taking away, they're investigating it, and Rory's leaving the Masters and going to another club or whatever, another league. And I was like, that's crazy, tell me about it. So he told me about it. Turns out, that's not even true. That's a total lie that was circulating on the internet, right? We live in a world with corrupt minds. We live in a world that exalts evil and suppresses the truth. We live in a world that celebrates sin and is negative towards righteousness. So Paul writes to us and he says, don't be shapen, don't be pressed, don't be squeezed into a world's pattern that seeks to eliminate the God you serve, but allow your mind, as he says at the end of verse number 2, to be transformed. To be renewed. The mind becomes the object of the Spirit's renewing power. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22. Our minds need renewing. The fall of man, sin has entered in. Our thinking needs renewed according to truth. But where is truth? It's the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22, the Bible says this. It says, put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, he says, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, he says. And look at what he says in verse number 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our thinking. How we think is what we do. Our thoughts control our actions. Before you do something, you have thought about it within your mind and acted upon that thought. And if our minds are corrupted by sin, we need to have them renewed by the truth of the Word of God. As he says, he continues on, he says, and put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, he says. So our minds to be renewed. We see this also in the book of Colossians chapter number 3. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 9, where the Bible says this in Colossians 3 and verse number 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, where do you think that's going? To the mind, after the image of him that created him. So we need, as he says in chapter 12 and verse number 2, don't be pressed into the world system, but be shapen like God, according to our minds, based upon the Word of God. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? Why do we want to do this? Why do we want our minds to be renewed? That also is answered in verse number 2 of chapter 12. Just to catch up a little bit about where we are and working through chapter 12, verse number 2, he is encouraging the believer to not be conformed to a world system that seeks to eliminate God. He is then encouraging the believer to allow their mind to be transformed by the truth of God, by the Spirit's power, that we'd begin to think clearly concerning the things of God. And then he says, why do you want to do this? He answers that at the end of verse number 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he says, the application, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These things are done that you would follow after the will of God and not after your own will and your own desires. He wants our mind to be instructed by the truth of God, that we would follow that truth in our lives, that we may do the things that are willed by God, the right course of action. As our minds are controlled by the truth of God's Word, it influences our lives. You know, there is truth, and it comes from the words of God. As many lies as there are in this world, God's Word is true and remains true for our lives. We are to follow the truth of God's Word and allow our thinking to be informed by the truth of Scripture. That's why the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. We think according to the truth of Scripture. You have a question about the world and the world's age? What does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say about heaven, about hell, about eternal life? What does the Bible say about male and female? What does the Bible say about marriage? What does the Bible say about how to live and what to follow? What is truth and what is error? What does the Bible say about the lies of the devil and his deception and how he's constantly seeking to fall, to seek people, to lead people away from God? May our minds be renewed through Scripture. May the Spirit change our thinking by the truth of God's Word. So we see two quick applications. One I've already mentioned to you at the end of verse number 2. First application is that God has a will for your life. He says at verse number 2 at the end, he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has a will for your life. Whoever you may be, God has a will and a direction He desires for you to go. And this will, the second application here at the end of verse number 2, this will is revealed to those who, instead of seeking conformity to the world, seek conformity to Christ and surrender themselves to the greatness of God's will. There'll be a day where all that matters is God. There'll be a day where the only thing that is important to us is our relationship with God. God has a will for our lives, and that will is revealed as we seek to conform ourselves to the image of Christ through the renewing of our minds, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and not to the age in which we live. And there is great pressure, as I've already mentioned, to conform ourselves to this age. This could be illustrated, some people illustrate this as a boat that is in the water. The boat is in the water, but it's not of the water, right? It's above it. It's in that, but it's not part of it. As we can see in our lives as Christians, we may be in the world, but we seek to follow the direction of God in our lives. One more verse, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 19. One of my favorite verses in the book of Ephesians, and a verse that I hope to understand more and more each and every day. But the Bible says in Ephesians 3 and verse number 19, he says this: as our minds are renewed, as we seek to understand more and more of his truth, this is a little bit of what begins to happen in the believer's life. As we have a greater knowledge of God, and we have a greater knowledge of truth, and we have a greater understanding of God and his ways and the work of his Son, he says this: and to know the love of Christ. As our minds are transformed through the renewing of through its renewing of the application of Scripture, the power of the Holy Spirit, he says, we know the love of Christ. That is revealed to us through Scripture. And then he says, he continues on, which passeth knowledge. Well, you can't even begin to understand these things, he says. You begin to see, to know the love of Christ. And he says, it's beyond even knowledge. And then he says in verse number 19, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's where I want to be. That's how I want my life to be. Not filled or pushed into the shape of this world, as he says, but I want to know the love of Christ, as he says in verse 19, and I want to know the fullness, as he says in verse 19, of God in my life. That's my desire. That's the Christian's desire. And you say, well, how is that going to happen? Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So the challenge of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, we read again, and be not conformed, are pressed into the shape of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, by the truth of Scripture, that the Holy Spirit would show us the truth of Scripture, and we would begin to think properly concerning the world in which we live, that we would follow after and do the will of God every day of our lives. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Bethany's going to come and play a song for us. The challenge today, maybe you're here today and you have been following after the ways of the world, and you even see yourself being shapen like unto it. Maybe as Christians today we can say, Lord, help my mind to be transformed by your word. Teach me your truth, as Bethany plays for us today. I encourage you, just there in your seat, talk to the Lord Is the world transforming us to its image, or are we transforming the world to what Christ has, to the truth of the Word of God? Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Take a moment, talk to the Lord there in your seat. If you could pray, Lord, renew my mind. Give me desire for your word. Help me to think properly of truth through Scripture. You can look back up here at this time. We'll have our final verse together this morning in the book of John, chapter number 17. And verse number 17. Let's stand together and we'll read this together. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Let's read this together. Ready? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. One more time. Ready? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, 17. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the word of God. Lord, our minds are certainly subject to corruption as we live in a fallen world. But Father, we pray that through your word, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would have our thinking, our minds renewed to the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you for giving us truth. You didn't have to, but you did. You gave us truth. We know which way to go. We know what is right. And Lord, help us to not conform ourselves to this age that pushes in more and more, but Lord, transform us into the image of your dear Son. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God this day. And Lord, we pray as your Word has said, Lord, do sanctify us through your Word. We know that is true. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.